Today, our minds are being hijacked, and we may not even be aware of it. The vast majority of us own what is called a what? A cell phone, a smartphone. And whether you have a smartphone or a iPad, it seems as though research is suggesting that we are spending lots of time on the screen. And it is impacting us in amazing ways. Let me ask you this. Are you digitally balanced? Are you taking and appropriately putting boundaries on your screen time? Let me ask you this. When you wake up in the morning, are you immediately going to this device right here? Are you reaching for this device throughout the day, maybe 80 times? That's what Apple says. Are you, just before you go to bed, catching one more glimpse of the phone? Are you actually sleeping with the phone? Are you letting the phone wake you up? Do you ever turn the phone off? Well, you know what the studies say? 50% of us never turn it off. Let me ask you another question. Are you nomophobic? That means that you actually cannot imagine not having your phone with you at some point in the day. I mean, you know, what if the battery is dead? What if the Wi-Fi doesn't work? Oh, no. That's nomophobic. Apparently, 2/3 of adults are nomophobic. Now, kids, two recent studies came out, one in South Korea, the other in UCLA, about the impact of our screen time upon our brains. Apparently, because of the length of time that we're spending on the phones as young people, because of the time that we're looking at the phone, day after day after day after day for hours at a time, apparently it is impacting our cognition and actually making us dumber. In fact, it's affecting our frontal lobe. That's 1/3 of your brain. And science is saying that we're getting what's called digital dementia. Maybe you've heard of it. Digital dementia. Now, what they're saying is that when they study the brain, they look at different trauma to the brain with schizophrenia or with blunt trauma to the brain, and it's similar to the trauma that they're seeing with digital dementia. So much time on the phone that it's impacting our ability to think and reason. Now, one time, we actually were better thinkers. Do you remember when someone would tell you their phone number? Do you remember what you used to do? Now, kids, probably not for you, but for adults, if you're over 30, do you remember what you would do? You would actually memorize the number. Yeah, seven numbers. Now, also, there was used to be that when someone would tell you how to get there, you would maybe write it down. You might even get a map, right, for your directions, but now, of course, we know we can go right to our phone. Now, there used to be a time when you had a question, you would go to the encyclopedia, you know, a big book. It was a little bit of a pain, and it was a big thing, and you'd open it up. And now we just go right to our phone. Now, when we want to know the weather, we go right to the phone. We used to have to go to the newspaper, and so on and so on. You know, if you want to learn how to fix something, you used to have to actually go to the library, maybe, and work on it, and now you go to YouTube, and you just watch them. And then you can actually do amazing things. Now, I don't want to bash technology, because technology can be a really good thing. Keeps us connected when we have great distances between friends and family. And it does give us some efficiency, no doubt. But there is also a consequence to technology, particularly phones, as we're finding out. Kids, the word for today, mind or brain. Count how many times I say either one of those words, and you'll get a special surprise for you. Today we are part 3 in our series entitled Building a New You. We've been talking about how to treat your body, how to nourish your body, and that, in fact, the body that we have doesn't really belong to us. It is on loan to us from who? From God, our Creator, our Savior. And so he gives us some operating procedures that are in the manual, the owner's manual, the Bible, on how to treat his temple. And today we are going to be looking at what God says about the mind. It is the most complex organ. It is the most misunderstood organ in the body. As we continue with our series, we're going to be understanding what the Bible teaches about our brain, as well as how to have the mind of Christ. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things where? Above, and not on earthly things. So I wonder today, I just wonder if, in light of our digital dementia syndrome that's happening, in light of our nomophobic tendencies, in light of the impact that our cell phones can have on our relationships, hang on for a second, in light of the research that's coming out showing increased depression and anxiety as a result of the screens, I wonder if possibly another consequence is a drain to our spiritual life. Now, do you remember the first time you got your first smartphone? Now, some of you may be thinking, I don't have a smartphone. How about an iPad? I don't have that either. Okay, well, you'll get there. But the thing is, do you remember the first time you got it and you were opening up the box and you were so excited to explore and, you know, be cool like everybody else? And then you turned it on and all of a sudden you got this message on the screen. Do you remember this? This message. Screen time warning. Uncontrolled use of this device will adversely affect you mentally, socially, and spiritually. Moderate to heavy usage will dumb you down, limit your mental capacity, and hurt you spiritually. Do you remember seeing that? No, because I just typed that up. But, friends, there should be a warning. In fact, they're saying now that kids under 12 should not even have a phone. I mean, in terms of spending time on it. The Lord has given us Christians a type of warning as well when it comes to the things of this world. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are perfectly useless, professed Christians if we are conforming to this world. When you think about it, we are constantly being bombarded in our brains with the values of this world, right? And one of the best ways for those values to be transmitted to us is through technology, the internet, through our screens, through the media, of course, through movies. On average, setting aside work, which, by the way, we need to be on our computers at work, and we're not talking about work and the computer. We're talking about downtime. But on average, they're saying that the average person outside of work and school are spending 2 to 4 hours a day. Hang on for just a minute. No, I mean 2 to 4 hours a day on this phone. They're doing swipes and taps and clicks 2,600 times in the day. 80 times they're going to look at it in the day. That relentless exposure to the patterns and values of our society is going to have some type of impact on our brain. What do you think? Yeah. It's going to impact our value system. What do you think? Somehow it's going to steer us in a direction that may not be the way God intended. Now, we certainly get a massive thrill when we do things that we enjoy. Things that we are addicted to, there's a chemical called dopamine that impacts our brain. You know, when I get to eat a donut, because I don't hardly ever have them, but when I eat one, well, I got a dopamine rush right now, and I liked it, and I want to eat not just the one, the whole box, right? Things that we enjoy, we want to keep doing. They feel good. And apparently, when we get a text or a like, when we get a view, when we get a news flash, all of a sudden, we got a dopamine rush. And all of a sudden, we'd like to experience that. It's subtle, but relentless. And we enjoy it throughout the day. It may even speak to our value. Huh, see, somebody liked what I posted. Somebody just thought of me. I'm valuable. I'm important. Apparently, this drug, dopamine, is mimicked by cocaine and heroin. It also strikes the brain in the same manner, making it very addicting. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If the pattern of this world is to spend 2 to 4 hours a day on our screens, then possibly we need to take a pause and reflect. Scripture says, be transformed. In the Greek, the word is metamorphoso. And this is a word there where we get the word metamorphosis. When Jesus is our leader, when we follow him, he actually transforms us, right? He actually takes us from darkness to light. And we're no longer the same. Now, that Greek word, metamorpho, shows up one other time in Scripture. And it's a time when Jesus brings his three disciples to a very high point. It's one of the highest points in the holy area, the Holy Land, I should say. They're not sure which mountain it is, but they speculate it's one mountain that's over 9,000 feet tall. And so he brings his three disciples up, and there's a transfiguration that takes place, a transformation of Jesus himself. He becomes a brilliant what? Light. He becomes radiant. And it's just overwhelming to the disciples. They're speechless. They don't know what to say. They've never seen Jesus, who's a human, look like he's God. But it was a glimpse that when you are God, you're glorious. And there to his left and right are Elijah and Moses. And so the disciples are scratching their heads, but they're speechless, and they see the transformation, which is a reminder to you and me that when we follow Christ, he wants to transform us too. He wants to bring us his light so that we can be a light in the dark world. But our transformation has got to be more than just non-conformity to the values of this world. It's got to be more than just maybe less screen time, right? It's more than just what we're not going to do. Jesus actually wants to give us a process of transformation by a daily renewal of our thinking and our values. Romans 12:2 again, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds are amazing. And they're hungry for information. And they like to stay young by learning. If we stop learning, we grow old. And so our minds need to be fed. The question is, what are we feeding our minds? And the Bible is telling us to renew our minds. Renew our minds in Christ Jesus. But there's a problem. I don't know about you, but my mind is a little bit carnal. There's an issue going on. There's a 7-year-old in my mind. My wife says, yeah, now you're talking. That's right. That's right. Seven-year-old right there. What I mean by that is there's a seven-year-old that has adult cravings but doesn't care about the consequences, right? Who just says, this is what I want. Get it. You can do it. You deserve it. Who cares about people? You deserve your... Take care of yourself first. And by the way, make sure you look good all the time. And there's a seven-year-old in here that knows what to say to get me to consider the prospects of what they're suggesting. This carnal brain that we have is not holy. It's hardwired for evil. Our natural brain is opposite to the way of God. And we don't like accountability and boundaries either. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8 says this: people who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will what? We will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit of Jesus, we will have life and peace. Our desires fight against God because they do not and cannot obey God's laws. If we follow our desires, we cannot please God. And so as we consider what we ought to do, we realize that we can't on our own. And that's where we need the mind of Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be willing to say, Lord, I have a seven-year-old in my brain. And you know, seven-year-olds are sweet. I mean, you know. But I've got a kid in my brain right now, Lord. And I want to today invite you to transform my brain, to give me the mind of Christ, to give me a new perspective, to take away this carnal heart and give me a heart of love every day. Renewing our mind every day to give us a brain health. And Lord, help me to detox from the things that are streaming into my brain. I'm connected to the world too much, Lord. I'm receiving too much of their values, of their ways of thinking, of their images. Too much, Lord. I need more of you. Give me that desire. I don't know what detoxing looks like for you. Maybe you're not really on the screen that much. But maybe there's something else that you're constantly focused on and thinking about. And it may not be bad, but maybe it's taking you away from the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Anybody here, like me, need a new mind, a new attitude, a new nature? And here's what's exciting. If you ask Jesus to do that, he will perform a miracle. He will change us. It may not happen in a day or a week or a month, but when God sees our desire to be different than this world, he will do a miracle. When was the last time that you had a time of quiet? You say, well, last night, of course. No, I'm not talking about when you slept. When was the last time that you actually sat down and there was nothing else going on and you had a time of peace? You mean without my phone? Yes. You mean without multitasking in some other way? Yes, without that. Just peace, quiet. You know, it's amazing how technology at our fingertips has transformed the way we think. You know what? When we had that time of quiet, guess what? That's the time to go ahead and check, I got to catch up. Wow. I mean, emails, texts, Instagram posts, the news. The way we're thinking. And by the way, the rush from the dopamine. I love it. I'm with it. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Screens are lighting up restaurants and airports and minivans, gas station pumps. You know, we want to use our time wisely. But the Lord has another idea. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I wonder, can we be still sometime today? Could you take 5 minutes and be still with God? You say, well, not today because I've got a lot going on. But how about tomorrow? All right, be still in the morning. That's why the Lord says, give me some time in the morning. It's the quietest time of the day. Be still and know that I am God. Now, in my own personal journey with Jesus, my strongest times have been when I am with Him quietly at His feet, listening. Maybe a journal entry. Just listening. Thinking about Jesus. Thinking about Him on the streets of those dusty roads. Helping people. What an example. Never being angry or disappointed. Jesus, I need you, I need you. Yes, yes, yes. Jesus was always available. Thinking of Jesus when He's being tempted. And yet, He never was to fall. Thinking of Jesus at the trial that was a kangaroo court. Thinking of Jesus as He hung on the cross. If you're not careful, you could get lost in those thoughts. And your love will deepen for Him. Jesus invites us to be still and know that He is God. You know, research indicates that silence actually releases tension and releases stress. In fact, one study says that pure silence is better at relaxing you than even calm music. Silence. See, when your brain is idle, it begins to heal. That's why sleep is so important. And then those deep, deep thoughts come to the forefront. And of course, a still, small voice can be heard by the sweet Jesus that wants to talk to you. Now, the wisest man who ever lived, aside from Jesus, was Solomon, right? And we know that he wrote a Psalms that talks about how there's a time for everything under the sun, right? A time for this and a time for that. And if we were to take and customize that to the plague almost of technology that we're facing today and the temptation of screen time, perhaps it might go like this if Solomon were here today. There is a time for everything technological. A season for every activity under your roof. A time to take photos and a time to refrain from taking photos. A time to text and a time for long conversations. A time to install apps and a time to uninstall apps. A time to limit and a time to use. A time to watch funny cat videos and a time to read thoughtfully in the corner. A time to delay gratification. A time for lavish gifts. a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time for Facebook and a time to shut Facebook down, a time for Skype and a time for getting on an airplane, a time for digital advances and a time for silent retreat. Calm, cool, and connected. Arlene Pelican. See, we're not designed to be technologically connected all the time. It's not the way our brains are built. I wonder if the enemy knew that and is taking a good thing, as he normally does, and making it a troubled thing. I wonder how often I say, you know what, I am so stressed out, let me relax. You know what, I'm looking for some hope. I need to know that people love me. I'm going to preach the sermon again. But instead, Jesus says, let me be your download. Let me be your encouragement. Let me be your reinforcement that you are loved and that you have a hope, and that let Jesus be your encouragement, you know, for a difficult life. And by the way, Jesus says, and P.S., that's why I gave you family and friends. Matthew 11:28-29 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your weary, screen-addicted souls. And I'm speaking to myself too, friends. The frontal lobe of the brain is the executive part. That's the place where decisions are made. It's where we do our planning. We start to think of the future. We think about the consequences. It's the part of the brain that is important. You might say it's the mature part of the brain. In fact, it's the part that, you know, when you see your favorite dessert, maybe it's a chocolate cake. I don't know what your favorite is. And you're like, the 7-year-old says, hey, eat the whole thing. You're going to feel so good for 10 seconds. And then the frontal lobe says, why don't you just go with one slice? Oh, frontal lobe, you take all the joy out of life. Thanks a lot, frontal lobe. But ironically, studies are showing that extended screen time is actually impairing the frontal lobe, particularly in young people and children. And the reason is because when we are looking at screens, the science is science, there's not a lot of blood flow right in this area. It's in the back of the brain. Did you know that the frontal lobe is the crown of the brain? That's where spirituality takes place. That's where God communicates with you and me. That's where you communicate back, is right here. That's where your values are and your character is established. That's why with a lobotomy, for those who have ever had them, and no one's here, but in research, they don't have values after they have lobotomy. The frontal lobe is that part that God would say is the most important part of your brain, which is why I think Revelation 22:4 says, they will see his face, Jesus, and his name will be on their foreheads. Friends, true followers of Christ are daily transformed by the renewing of their mind. And that has got to be an intentional process. It will not happen haphazardly. We have to start taking control of our devices, of our screens and really have some boundaries to protect our relationships, to protect our mind, to protect our children. We need to take action. Because there's something even more profound. Protecting your relationship with God and your connection with Him. So how about this? Let's stop going to sleep with our phones on. Let's stop sleeping with it next to us. Let's stop waking up and looking at it first thing. Let's start putting it away when we're with each other. Let's go outside more. Let's spend time in God's creation. Let's spend time with each other more. Let's talk to each other more. Let's send fewer messages. Most of all, let's be more vigilant with our connection with Jesus than our connection with everyone else. John D. Rockefeller Sr. became a millionaire at age 33. Now, becoming a millionaire in his time was some real money. At age 43, he was a multimillionaire and the president of the largest corporation in the world, Standard Oil. By the time he was age 53, he was the wealthiest man in the world, the first billionaire. This very driven man wanted to be the wealthiest. In fact, they did a calculation. His $1 billion at the time, today would be worth $336 billion. That's just three times more the worth of Jeff Bezos, the current wealthiest man. But at the age of 53, Rockefeller had everything, but he had nothing. He looked like a mummy. A complex digestive disease had struck him. The doctor said, hey, unfortunately, you're not going to live to be 54. Make the most of your final months. You're the wealthiest man, but you have very few days left. The richest man faced the prospect of death. Began to reflect upon his life. See, he had been so driven that he never had time for anybody or anything except for the goal of making money. He had a lot more enemies than friends. He began to consider what his legacy would be. He began to consider his roots. He was raised a Christian, but, you know, that's mom and dad's belief. But he began to sit at God's feet. He began to eat healthier and exercise and enjoy the little things and people. Just enjoying people. Began to go to church. He was baptized as a Baptist. Began to teach Sunday school. I wonder if he ever took an offering, the richest man. The man who took advantage of everyone else also made a promise. See, as he was in his Bible, he saw something that Jesus said that really struck him. See, the Bible will change the way we think. It will renew our minds. And it hit him. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's actually better to give than to get. And that was a dawning for him, since he had all the wealth of the world, so it seemed. And so he began to do what his friends were scratching their head and perplexed to see. He began to give away his wealth. At first, people would not take the money. They thought, wait a minute. Yeah. We know who you are, and we can't trust you. But he would give. He would give to churches and needy people and needy organizations and people that were starting to wanting to start universities, and anyone who had a noble goal, he was there to give. Millions, millions. He gave, he gave. He realized after a year that he outlived the prognosis of the doctors, and after 10 years and 20 more years, 30 years, 40 years, he died at 97. It's amazing how a healthy, Christ-centered mind that focuses on the truths of Christ extends our health and our fulfillment. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. I wonder if you would purpose in your heart to say, you know what, I'm going to be more intentional about my connectivity to my Savior and my friend, the one who promises to come back for me, the one who has given me my talents and abilities, the one who is creating a home so that side by side we can stand together in heaven. I wonder if you would make that commitment. And as we consider this commitment, let's read this promise from the wisest man in Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. My son and daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet. That's not an iPad. Of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Lord Jesus, in our hearts, we've been convicted, I have, that, Lord, I need to give you my brain in a much more powerful way than I have and give you access to this renewal process that needs to take place and to hand over to you those things that have been streaming into my brain, filling me with the values and the patterns of this world. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us a desire for you. Change our hearts and our minds that one day soon we will be side by side with you. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.